There's an episode of Everybody Loves Raymond years and years ago. Can't remember the exact plot. Something happens between Raymond and his preteen daughter, Allie. Now, Allie collects Hacky-Doo cards, which was their spoof on Pokemon cards. Does anybody know what a Pokemon card is? Yeah. They sell them in packs, and every now and then you can get a rare Pokemon card, and it's worth quite a bit of money. Well, something happens between Raymond and his daughter, and to make it up to her, he seeks down the Hacky-Doo card she desires. And a driven father, he seems to go to any length to get Allie this card. Eventually, he ends up at a comic book store. There's some haggling. He buys the card. He takes it home. He walks in the living room. His brother, Robert, is sitting there. And Raymond calls Allie down and says, "Allie, come down here. I got something for you." She says, "What, Dad? What, Dad?" He reaches into the bag and pulls out the card that she desperately wanted. Big smile. "Thank you, Dad." Robert says, "Ah, the smile of a little girl. You can't put a price on that." And Raymond snaps at him, "How about $289.50? So almost $300 Raymond spends for the card. Allie thanks him and then proceeds to fold the card in half and sticking it in her pocket. He says, "No, don't fold it." That's my real mom person. $300 gift, the value of which is decreased immediately because she folds it and sticks it in her pocket. The 20th century, the 1930s and early 40s, there was a German theologian, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Perhaps you have heard of him. He wrote a seminal work, The Cost of Discipleship, was the name of one of his books. What amazes me about this book is not only how it has withstood the test of time, but it seems it doesn't matter what bent of theologian's work I'm reading, they quote Bonhoeffer. From dyed-in-the-wool conservative Catholics to the most evangelical Pentecostal preacher, everyone seems to love Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Well, this phrase, "the cost of discipleship," or this book, had brought to the vernacular of theology a notion of cheap grace. Perhaps you've heard this before as well. We say that God is graceful and loving and merciful and forgiving, and God is. God gives to us grace, does things for us because of God's grace. Right? The ultimate message of the cross, Jesus Christ died for us that our sin might be forgiven and that we might be gifted with eternal life. That's grace. But Bonhoeffer argued that we cheapen that gift when we do not realize the value and the cost that grace took. We fold up the Pokemon card, stick it in our pocket, not understanding the value. Jesus begins this very difficult text today saying, "Student's not above the master, student's not above the teacher, slave's not above the master." What he's saying, in essence, is, you have seen me go throughout my ministry giving of myself. And I expect no less than those who claim to follow me. Right, last week we had in our text, Jesus looks on the crowds and has compassion. And I'll bet you, but I had fun with the word splagna, right? That compassion. But you think about the English word compassion, and you break it down, it literally means to suffer with. When someone acts out of compassion, they are willing to suffer with the one for whom they are acting. Compassion. I've said many times, of course, that unconditional love and self-giving sacrifice are the most powerful forces in the universe. God tapped into that, continues to tap into that through the person of Jesus Christ, but it comes with a cost to the one who gives it. And so we receive God's grace, fully understanding of what it costs God to give us that grace, and then as disciples of Jesus, we go out into the world and give of ourselves. We go out into the world and we love unconditionally, even when we don't feel like it. This master, teacher, slave, student, teacher, master, slave is to say, you are no better off or no more worthy than the teacher. But on the other side, the teacher and the master should never be unwilling to do what they're asking their followers to do. Jesus never asked his disciples to do something Jesus himself was not willing to do. And so he calls his disciples to do likewise, to follow his ministry as an example. Before I go any further with this text, I want to assure you that there is language of hyperbole. Hyperbole, to overstate one's case to make a point. Yes, Jesus engaged in hyperbole when he spoke. Some of our gospel readings have hyperbolic language in them. So he goes on, he talks about fear three times in this text. He tells his disciples, do not be afraid. Again, this is tough to hear, but basically what Jesus is saying is, do not be afraid of your body. Do not be afraid of your social standing or economic status. Those things are fleeting. Value those things in light of the eternal life that God has given you. Jesus uses language of the soul. The soul is gifted with eternal life. The body is fleeting. Don't worry about your body. The worst they can do is kill you. But you know eternal life awaits you. So go out boldly, proclaim the gospel boldly, Jesus says. Then comes this bit about, I have not come to bring peace to the earth. That's news to me, and it ain't good. What is he talking about? Every week we share the peace. We've talked about this before. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Christmas, right? Joy to the world, peace to those. What does he mean he's not bringing peace? Again, we're entering the realm of hyperbole. Jesus is saying here is that whatever else we value, we should value God, our relationship with God, even more. The idea being, While all other things are great, all other relationships may be wonderful, only God grants eternal life. The greatest gift, the boldest act of grace you and I will ever experience. And so what he's saying is, follow through on your beliefs and let your actions show the world what it means to have values of the kingdom of God, to love unconditionally and to give of oneself in sacrifice. But when you do that, there will be those, some very close to you, that will not like it, will feel uncomfortable with it. Some will actively resist you. And it's hard to hear, but again, some of those will be those closest to us. Jesus isn't out to split up families. Jesus is out to proclaim that the kingdom of God is at hand. And if that message should divide folks, so be it. It has to be. Some examples. Just the other day, I was speaking with a good friend of mine. I've known him since grade school. His dad was a great guy. Definitely included me in the family. I felt sometimes as I was one of the brothers, part of the family. But Dad was a racist. No two ways about it. N-word this, N-word that. My friend shared with me that when he got a little bit older and understood what that language meant, he and his dad went toe-to-toe about it. He said, oh, I used to yell at him and scream at him. Sometimes I wouldn't even eat at the family table. I'd take my meal and go out on the porch or into the living room. I couldn't stand to look at him. Now, Dad eventually softened, eventually heard the message that his son was offering. Didn't fully change his ways, but softened. But for a while there, was father against son for the sake of loving one different than ourselves. And sometimes the church needs to hear this message as well. Many times in the church there are persistent troublemakers who love to stir the pot, who want to steer the ship any other way than leadership is trying to take it. I'll give you another example. A couple churches ago, there was a guy that volunteered for the church. It was wonderful. He had a Sam's Club card, and he would go and pick up the things we needed, like paper towels and toilet paper and cups and forks and all that. And we had a storage closet that shut, you know, had a door, and had a smoke alarm. And he would come in and he'd pile stuff on the shelves, and there was a shelf at the top, and he would stick something in between the ceiling and the shelf. Well, one day we got visited by the fire inspector. A learning point for me years ago, I didn't know that smoke needs a place to roil to set off the smoke alarm, so he couldn't put things on the top shelf. So the secretary went in after the fire inspector told her of this. She removed things, rearranged the shelf a little bit. The next week, or sent him an email telling him what this was all about. Next week, she comes in, and guess what? Paper towels on the top shelf. And she calls him. You understand, this is a violation of the code. We cannot put things on the top shelf. His response to her, a part-time secretary who often was all over the place, well, when you know they're coming, just go and move it. You want to know the real kicker? He was a volunteer fireman. And again, it's not just that he was awkward to be around or wanted something different is that he constantly did these things. And no one ever stood up and said, there are consequences to these actions. Matter of fact, real quick, I'll finish with this story for this part. But so he and I had issues. And someone told me, he was asked to leave the church once. What? I said, yeah, council voted, and I don't know if you know, but in the Constitution, you can kick a member out if the council deems egregious behavior. And they voted that he and his wife should be released to ministry elsewhere. But the council president, arguably, and forgive my judgment, lacking somewhat of a spine, followed him into the parking lot and said, no, don't go. We can work this out. And so the guy continued to be a member of the congregation, continued to give us some leadership heartburn. All right, so why do I tell all these stories? Jesus says there are values of the kingdom. We are to live those out and to not let anything deter us from them. Even those other things that we value very highly. To do otherwise is to cheapen the gift of grace. So, Jesus goes on, and he ends with these lines. Whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. This comes to us from the gospel. This comes to us from Jesus' lips. This comes to us, and we understand it as good news because we are asked of something but given ultimately so much more. What Jesus is saying is when you follow me, when you do the things that I have taught you to do, when you do them no matter the cost, you will find your life filled abundantly. You will be who you were meant to be. You will find yourself. But if you continue to value other things higher than the call to follow Jesus, if you value the things that are not of the kingdom of God, but of the kingdom of this world, well, you'll be treading water at best. You'll be living, but not really alive. You'll know what it is to love, but perhaps not unconditionally. So, these last couple of weeks, we've heard the call to discipleship. And Jesus, in today's text, doesn't spare us anything, does he? Kind of gives us both barrels. But the promise, 3 times, don't be afraid, is that what we have been given is always, eternally, much more than is ever asked of us. Amen.